Chapter number 10, when you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
Boy, that's a very delayed reaction.
What?
When you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13. Read with me. The Bible said, there hath no temptation taken you, but as such is come. I tell you what, let's back up and let's just start reading verse number 1.
Amen.
And let me read you some context, and I'll read it quicker than I can explain it to you what's going on here.
Amen.
So let's read our Bibles just a little bit tonight. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. The Bible said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. And all these things happened unto them for ensamples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verse 13 will be our text tonight. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation. Here's our thought. Also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Fathers, we bow in the presence of God tonight. Help us not to grieve you. Help us not to quench you. Help us to be sensitive to the sweet spirit of God. I pray the breath of God will be on this place tonight. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would not leave us to ourselves, but God would come down and meet with us, Lord. That glory that Brother Tim spoke about tonight. Lord, I pray that it'd be in our midst tonight. God, I pray you'd give grace and strength and power, and I pray you'd help me, Lord. You'd clothe me. Help me to clothe myself with humility. Then I pray you'd clothe me with the power of God tonight. We'll bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. I'm interested in where the Bible said that God will also make a way to escape. And I want to preach on this thought tonight on the old song that's in the old church hymnal. The songwriter put it this way when he said he found Jesus. Hallelujah! I have found the way. And brother, I'm glad. Now, Brother Tim preached on the way the other night. I have no intentions of going this way tonight. But God this afternoon about 4 o'clock put this chapter on my heart. I've never preached this text. I've never preached this message. And so I'm going to do my best to be true to my calling and my God tonight, and let you precious people know that there is a way of escape when temptation comes our way. You don't have to give into sin. You don't have to give in to the devil. You don't have to give in to the world, neighbor. But God, my beloved friend, has made a way for us to escape. And brother, I don't want to get trapped in sin. I don't want to get trapped in temptation. Amen. I tell you, when temptation comes our way, we ought to be so close to God that we just turn around and walk the other way and not give in to any kind of temptation that will come our way.
That's good, brother.
Amen to God. There is a way to escape. I got 4 simple thoughts tonight, and I'm just going to be as brief as I possibly can be tonight. Amen. But number 1, you're going to have to let him lead you if you're going to find the way of escape. Now, if you're looking for something deep, it's not going to happen. I'm going to give you a practical sermon tonight. You have got to let God lead you. Neighbor, I love the leadership of God, don't you? He leads his sheep, leads his saints, leads his people, leads his preachers. Amen. He said he'll speak to us. He leads us through his servants. He leads us with pastors. He leads us with with teachers. He leads us with His Bible. He leads us with the Spirit of God. God leads His people. And never, He'll never lead us into sin. He'll never lead us into abomination. He's going to lead us to higher heights and deeper depths with God. Amen. He's going to lead us to an upper room that's fully furnished and ready and prepared. Let us sup with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. He will lead us, but we must not be stubborn. We must not be stiff-necked. We must not be rebellious, but we must be submissive to the leadership of Almighty Sovereign God. Now, he's talking about the nation of Israel when they were in the land of Egypt. There were three ways God led them people, three different places. Rather, I choose my words a little bit wiser there. Amen. God led them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness, and then He led them into Canaan. And brother, I'm glad God will lead us out of Egypt tonight. Amen. Now the Bible still says that as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Amen. You don't want to die in Egypt. Brother, that's a place of death. That's a place of damnation. If we could typify it and picture it tonight, that would be a place of dying lost without God. You don't want to die and go to hell without God. But then you've got the wilderness. I'd call that a place of doubt. And God didn't design this Christian life for people to walk around doubting everything, second guessing the word of God. Aren't you glad that God gives His people assurance tonight? Amen to God. If you're living in doubt, I feel sorry for you. Brother, I'm glad when I got saved, I joined the KKK. I know that I'm saved by the grace of God. I ain't a hoping so. I ain't a climbing up Jacob's ladder. I ain't coming up or upside down. Neighbor, I'm saved by the grace of God. And the reason a lot of people doubt tonight, you're looking in the wrong place for assurance.
That's it.
Oh, you're going to look for assurance from me. I ain't going to give it to you.
God forbid.
You're going to look for assurance from your mom and dad. They ain't going to be able to give it to you.
Right.
You're going to look for assurance to your pastor. He can't give you none. No. You're going to look for the visiting preacher. He can't give you none. Where do we get our assurance tonight? Amen. I'm glad you asked. I get it from this old black back King James Bible. Amen. Matter of fact, when preaching's going on, when Bible preaching, should I say, is going on, it don't bring doubt. It brings assurance.
Yeah.
You can preach on hell all you want to. It don't bother me one bit. I'm not going. It just reminds me that I'm saved by God's amazing grace. You just will say amen right there.
Amen.
I mean, y'all going to be dead. I'm going to be dead with you, all right? And I ain't going to let you be dead tonight. Hey, this is not going to be a dead meeting. Yeah. Something's going to happen if I got to make it happen.
Amen, brother.
I ain't going to make you get saved or get filled or nothing like that. But it's going to get a little bit lively. Amen. Now, don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. God, you walk around wondering whether you're saved or not. That ain't the kind God gives. God gives assurance. And when Bible preaching's going on, brother, he'll give that sinner assurance of their damnation. I hear guys make statements like this, and if you make this statement, don't even ask me about this after the service. I'm going to be clear in what I preach. I've heard preachers down through the years, they make foolish, non-biblical statements like this. Now, if you're doubting your salvation, that's a Holy Ghost telling you you're lost. There ain't one verse of King James Bible to back that junk up, and you just well say amen right there. That's when the Holy Ghost comes. He don't bring doubt. He speaks clear. When He told me I was lost, there wasn't no doubt about it. Maybe I was lost and going to hell without God, and I knew it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, but y'all don't say that around here, do you? Oh, well, we got quiet. Amen. That's not Bible, all right? I haven't heard anybody say it. If I had, I probably wouldn't be preaching it right now. I'd be nice and kind to you, but God don't deal with doubt. He don't use doubt. Oh, no, He uses assurance. And when preaching's going on, He gives you assurance. I wouldn't plan on saying all this, but I'm done up in here, and I'm going to hang out a little while, all right? Amen. He'll let you know. He'll speak clear to you. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you won't have to ask your mama. You won't have to ask your daddy. Thank God, He gives assurance of salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all better say amen, or I'm going to think you disagree with me. Amen. I told the preacher before service tonight, that little old girl went to the preacher one night. She said, "Preacher, you're going to have to pray for me. I'm struggling with that." He said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "Well, she said, the only time I've got any assurance of my salvation is when I'm reading my Bible or when I'm praying and I'm really walking with God and I'm singing the gospel songs and I'm inviting people to church." And she said, "But if I don't do that, I just get all messed up." And you know what that wise preacher said? He said, "Honey, I tell you what I'd do if you, I was you." And she said, "What's that?" "I'd read my Bible, I'd pray, I'd worship God, I'd sing him good songs." Amen. Thank God you're going to walk around in the wilderness, amen, all confused. And by the way, in the Old Testament, a part of the judgment of God on people was the confusion. And brother, they didn't know which way was up and which way was down. But never you ever get out of the wilderness and you get up out of Canaan land and you come over there to the River Jordan, the neighboring God parts of waters, and you ease on over there into victorious Christian living, into the Spirit-filled life. You don't have to live like that. You can live in delight. You can live in victory. You can live in joy. You can live in the peace of God. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. I said you can live in the peace of Almighty God. Now you know I'm telling it right tonight. Neighbor, I tell you, you gotta let, that's where God leads.
Amen.
God leads to assurance. God leads to peace. God leads to joy. God don't lead down to the beer joints. God don't lead people to sin. You have got to let God lead you.
That's right.
Amen. Well, anyhow, God lead you. Where's he leading you? Amen. God, the goodness of God leads thee to repentance, according to Romans chapter number 2. When we got saved, it started out a whole life.
That's
not
right.
just following his leadership as he was drawing us and wooing us and convicting us. But that just wasn't a one-time deal. It started a life of us following his leadership. Well, Brother John, I just don't know what to do. Have you thought about reading the Bible? I mean, a lot of people are expecting an angel to show up and tell us every minute detail on what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to be. But neighbor, if you'll just open up your Bible, if you want to know how to be a good church member, read your Bible. You want to know how to be a good pastor, read your Bible. You want to know how to be a good evangelist, just read your Bible. If you want to know how to be a good husband or a good wife, it's all in the Word of God.
Amen.
Am I telling it right tonight?
Amen.
Amen. If you want to follow the leadership of God. And by the way, that's what I was wanting to preach tonight on a life that most Baptists ain't never gonna live. And that's that Canaanite life. That's that Spirit-filled life. That's that abundant life. That's that life of fullness. Now God did not call me or any other preacher to make you happy.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's exactly
Amen.
Right.
Right.
We're called to help people to get holy. We got two rules in my home. I like being there. I like to have fun. I like to laugh. We sat at lunch today for over an hour and a half. Then got out in the parking lot and the fellowship was so good. We still didn't want to depart one from another.
Right?
Had a wonderful time. The brethren, me and Brother Vernon and the other Brother Vernon, had two Vernons with me for lunch today. And boy, it was wonderful. It was good. I enjoyed the fellowship. I really enjoyed the food. Amen to God. But God, I don't forget. It must be the spirit of this church. I don't know. I forgot where I was going.
Who in
the world has got that problem? Get right with God, because it's rubbing off on the rest of us. Amen. But Brother Lunch was good, by the way. But Brother, I'm telling you, God, he leads. Hey, I know what I was going to say. God leads you. He'll lead you to repentance. He'll lead you to revival. He'll lead you to rejoicing. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, man, God didn't call me to make you happy. God called me to preach the Word of God. Hey, man, but I believe you ought to have paradise and joy. And brother, I tell you, we got two rules in our home. Number one, honor God in everything you do. Amen. That's pretty simple right there, ain't it? You ain't got to have a Bible college education to understand that. But then rule number two, have fun while you do it. Amen. This life of living for God, it ain't a drag. It ain't boring. Amen. I just started living. Brother, they look at me and they say, hey, you travel up and down the road, stay in hotels and different places. Your life is boring. Neighbor, what I'm doing tonight, it ain't boring. What I did this afternoon in a secret place, it ain't boring. I've been with God. Matter of fact, I feel just a little bit of liberty tonight. Thank God this is the best life. I've been on both sides of the tracks. This is the best life that you can have. The best life that you can live. Thank God it will live forever.
Amen.
It's wonderful to be saved.
Yes. That's right.
Yes, it is.
Amen. There's joy in serving Jesus.
That's right.
Thank God. He made a way to escape. What's that? We're going to have to let him lead us.
Let
God lead you. Amen. I don't want to get hit myself, but he led me on how to live, led me on how to act, led me on how to dress, led me on how to walk, led me on how to talk. It's a leadership of God.
Amen.
And God, through his wonderful, wonderful spirit, and he knows I dare not mean no disrespect to the Lord or any part of the Godhead, but it ain't always the Holy Spirit. For him to know to do good and to do it not, to him it is sin.
Oh,
it's that knowledge that's already there.
That's right.
Lord, I was talking to some young men the other day, and we was having prayer meeting. I said, isn't it amazing, brother? Isn't it amazing that when something comes up in your life, them scriptures that you've been reading and trying to memorize, or that message that somebody preached, and it didn't do nothing for you right then, but you went ahead and put it in your lunchbox and you kept it for another day. Amen. When trouble comes and temptation comes, isn't it amazing how those verses just start coming up and start bubbling up? Isn't it amazing? And them old messages, amen, that you heard 20 years ago, that when you need them, they come back around in your heart and they come back around in your mind. I'm just going to stop just for a brief moment. In case you ain't figured it out tonight, I really feel like preaching tonight. And brother, I'm having a good time up in here. I'm going to preach 10 minutes and let you close this out again, but not tonight. Oh, I'm going to preach. Amen. Let you now, you don't have to act like I do. I know I get loud and I get excited. Amen. That's fine. I'm being me. And you know, I used to, Brother Jeff Plyman tipped me up this years ago. I used to, well, I'm about done it tonight, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 times already. And look at some of this crap that's got to look like their mother-in-law just moved in. Amen. That's good, sir. Look like you've been sucking on lemons for 11 years. Amen. Born on the backside of the moon in crab apple
right,
season. Look like an old Arkansas. Look like an old Arkansas mule. Eating salt briar. Amen. I got my old brother Jeff Clemens. I got done preaching one day. Old brother Jeff said to brother Morgan, I used to be just like, I look at them people got a sour puss look on their face. And he said, boy, I'd let them have it. He said, then one day the Lord revealed to me, I'd do a lot better looking at somebody that's smiling and getting with me. So if I'm not looking at you tonight, then you know who you are. You're backslidden like Billy Goat. You've got to look on your face. That's repulsing. You wish you'd be somewhere else. Hey, watch my time. I'm trying to get with you. Somebody say, man. Hey, well, thank God he leads us. Hey, man, he'll lead you. He'll lead you. He'll take you where you need to go. He'll lead you in prayer. He'll lead you in your Bible. He'll lead you. I wish I could sing tonight. I'd sing that old song. He leadeth me. Oh, glory to God. That for the times, God.
Right.
He'll lead us what to preach on, won't he?
Yes, right. Sir.
I just don't get up and preach whatever I feel like preaching.
Right.
If you do that, you're crazy. Right.
Come on.
That's why your ministry, that's why your ministry's dead.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Right. Amen. Say amen right there. Hot man, I'm about to get the spirit of Brother Sammy on me. Amen to God. Now, brother, I tell you, he'll lead you what to preach. And if you let him, he'll lead you on how to pray.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I got a prayer list. You got a prayer list. Unless you get in your secret place and you pray and you just kind of push that list to the side and you say, Lord, I've done my best to confess my sins. If there's anything else up in here, would you reveal to me the deep parts of my heart, them inward parts where you're going to purge me and make me to know wisdom according to Psalms 51. And Lord, now lead me to pray. And I might be praying, God, say, you pray for old Zach Burnett and his wife and that precious little girl, and I'll pray for her. There've been times God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, hey, I want you to pray for somebody. One time God woke me up, told me, I'll pray for old Cherokee Indian, old brother Dan Conseil up there, Cherokee, North Carolina. I woke up and I prayed about 3 minutes and I went back to bed, and the Lord said, I told you to pray for him. So I got up, brother Kenny, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I said, I don't know what is going through, but God help him. The next day I got a phone call. Amen. And while I was praying for Dan, I didn't understand it. His wife had cancer. I thought that surely I need to pray for her. But while I was praying, God come down and took his bride to heaven and needed me to pray for him. Hey, brother, you never know how much you're going to help somebody out just by following of Almighty God. I ain't talking about a bunch of mystic stuff and a bunch of stuff people want you to think you're magic or you've got some kind of superpowers. I'm talking about simply following the leadership of God.
Amen. That's right. Lord,
God tells you to witness somebody, you better do it.
That's right.
I'm against this easy prayerism crowd. I'm against them. And I'm against that Calvinistic crowd. I'm against them just as bad. Amen. I don't believe in leading nobody in a 1, 2, 3 repeat after me. Amen. I do not. I've never done. I ain't going to do it. I'm against it. And I'm also against putting barbed wire up on the altar and not letting nobody come and pray. Amen. I'm against flooding them on the altar and getting around them unless they need somebody to pray with them. And then we get down, give them some verses and tell them we're praying with them and help them get a hold of God. I don't have a problem with that. They a balance on it. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Up with the Holy Ghost. I said, you give that person a track, or you tell that person Jesus loves her. You better mind God. You can never tell what God's going to do with that. And it's these times I get up and preach, and it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting, where in the world's God?
Amen, brother.
10 years down the road, somebody will stand up in a service somewhere.
That's right.
Brother John, I don't know if you remember that sermon that night. I don't know if you remember that night. I know you felt like you fell flat on your face, and I'm sitting there saying, yeah, that's one of the worst nights I ever had. But God rescued me.
Amen, brother.
I couldn't tell you how many times, amen, God, how many times I bless the Lord for this. Don't pat me on the back. It's God. It's not a John thing. It's not a Pastor Vernon thing, a Brother Tim thing. It's a God thing, Brother Zach.
Right.
I couldn't tell you how many times, amen, I'd be on my way to revival meeting and the Holy Spirit say, you're not there for the people. You ain't there sure enough for yourself. That man of God needs help. I get up and preach 2 or 3 nights. Amen. We get down there the last night on Friday night and the pastor stand up with tears running down his eyes and saying, you know, I was praying about coming in here Sunday and putting my resignation in and giving this thing up and letting somebody else have it. But you want to know what? Somewhere along the line, God has put some wind back in my sail. You can't tell what mama needs help, what daddy needs help, what Johnny needs help. Just mind God.
Amen.
You got to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I was up preaching one night. I don't like using so many personal illustrations, but they just keep coming up to me.
Amen, brother. Preaching.
And I was up preaching one night, boy. I was preaching on hell, and it was dead. I mean, I'm sitting there, and the whole time I'm preaching, I'm looking for a good place to cut it off. Is it? I'm gonna cut this off right here. And in the back, but they're just very, 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 very. Just every once in a while, still small boys.
Hey,
keep on
preaching. Yes, that's right.
Don't quit.
That's right.
Don't stop. And finally, when I got liberty and leadership to stop, I will say 17 or 18 souls later. 17 or 18 souls later. Hey, man, I got born again, buddy. As under so much conviction, running to the altar, crying out, begging God to save. You don't have to believe that happened. It don't matter to me. I was there. I did. Hey,
right.
I saw it. What if we would have quit and quit following the leadership of God?
Amen.
Hey, man. I, Well, there you go. There's point number one. If you're going to make a way of escape, follow his leadership. He will lead you away from the sin. Number two, amen. Number two, let's read verses 2 and 3 again in your hearing tonight. Amen. He said, or verses 3 and 4 rather, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Brother, I will talk to you. Number two, amen. Eat what he feeds you. Amen. We're going to let him lead us. Now we've got to let him feed us. Isn't it good feasting on the Word of God? Amen. And God, amen, took his crowd out of Egypt, and they're going through the wilderness, and they spent about 40 years in the wilderness, and they didn't have to do that. What could they make that trip in a couple of weeks from where they was going to go from Egypt to Canaan land? But because they're stubborn, stiff-necked, and backslid, that crowd, boy, I tell you, God, you know what that wilderness experience was? It was a 40-year funeral. Every day, God's taking somebody out. Every day, amen, and got it down to where that old murmuring, complaining crowd wasn't around anymore. And God let the youth group cross the river.
Right.
Amen.
God.
I tell you, God let the youth group, the young people. He let them cross the river. You preach to mom and daddy, granddaddy, and grandma. They'll get mad at you, blow their cigarette smoke in your face. You preach to a little old boy, a little old girl somewhere, ain't lived long enough to get full of pride and get hard. They'll thank you for preaching against their sin. They'll love you for it. Amen. Neighbor, hear me and hear me well. They did not have to spend that much time in the wilderness. But you know what kind of grace God had on them? They got to murmuring about being hungry. And God sent manna from heaven. Now, I don't want to rush it up. I don't want to die a premature death. But look at here. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. I hope God will let me eat some of that manna as much as I like to eat. And boy, we had some good food today. Amen. Hey, brother, I'd like to know what it tastes like. I'd like to know, hey, man, what it smells like. I think the Bible, didn't the Bible call it angel's food? God gave them angel's food. Hey, brother, amen. And then, out of all that, they had a rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, and they ate the manna, and they ate the angel's food, but the problem was they ate what God gave them, but they made their own dessert. Oh boy. They ate what God gave them, but they decided that wasn't enough. Well, how do you, Brother Morgan, what do you say? Well, let me read you a part of a verse. The people sat down to eat and to drink. What was they eating? They was eating manna and they was drinking water out of that rock, and that rock was Christ, correct?
Yep.
Then the Bible said they rose up to play.
Yeah, there it is.
They rose up to play. Now, looky here. If you'll study your Bible just right, it may be in this chapter more than these, but verse 7, neither be ye idolaters. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ. Verse 10, neither murmur you. That word neither is in these first few verses 4 times. And God specifically says, hey, that crowd had some ways about them. Don't you do it. Just be satisfied with what God feeds you.
Amen.
That's what the problem is with this carnal crowd today. Ain't satisfied. Oh, you mean all I, just like, was it Aaron? I mean, God's dividing it out. Aaron and Paul. I mean, Paul's over there in the book of Philippians. And Paul makes this great statement that I may win Christ. Oh, man, study that when you get home tonight. That I may win Christ. You mean Paul used him to deep all them days? You got beat and you got stoned. You sat there and you preached and they stoned you, and Peter and them thought you was dead. And I can imagine Peter over Paul fixing to preach his funeral sermon. And Peter maybe cleared his throat and said, all right, he's dead, somebody get a casket, I'm going to preach a funeral message today. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If Paul would have been a whole lot nicer, he'd still be with us. Brother, I tell you, amen, but Paul got up. And Paul, you've went through all that. You've had your prison experiences. And you're telling me that at the end of the trip, at the end of the trip, when you get there, and you said that I may win Christ, and you're telling me that's all you're going to get, Jesus? Oh, yes, that's what I'm telling you. That's all we need. Amen. You may be looking for the crown, and I'd like to have one to cast at his feet myself. But hear me and hear me well. I'll be satisfied. I'm satisfied. Amen. Just to see him. I hope I get close enough. I'm just
to see him, see his face, and to talk to him, and to fellowship with him. Amen to God. That's enough. And if it's enough up there, then it ought to be enough down here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good preaching, even if I ever want to do it. I get blessed by my own preaching.
Amen, brother.
If your own preaching don't bless you, don't expect it to bless nobody else, okay? I didn't say it was good. I just said it blessed me.
Amen.
Amen. Eat what it feeds you. Those snot-nosed running mouth, my mama. Man, I tell you what. I'm going to tell you all about my mama. Okay? I love my mama. They raised you something like they had, okay? It wasn't perfect. My mama, you don't mess with her. You don't mess with her boys. She's the only one that can cuss her boys out, okay? That's right. I made her mad one day. She said, hey, I made her mad one day. Oh, I feel a witness on that. Now, don't get mad at her. She smokes, she don't drink. She don't run around all day. I mean, some old Southern Baptist cigarette sucking. I mean, she quit smoking but she had to go to the hospital here about 6 months ago. She quit smoking for about 2 weeks, and after about a week, I was ready to go buy her a carton myself.
Woo!
I'm telling you what, buddy.
Son!
Hell hath no fury like Gwen without cigarettes. Amen. I'm being honest. I don't forgot what I was going to say. Again. What in the world is it? I've never. 27 years, I've never lost my thought. Like I might be because I'm trying to fix to say something I should.
Stay in the pulpit.
Oh, I remember. I was a little boy. I was pitching a fit, right? I was at the dinner table. I didn't want to eat. Like, I ain't eating that mess. I think I'm throwing some of my food. And my mom got a big old handful of mashed potatoes. And she reared back. Woo! Me right in my face. I don't remember. They said when I blink my eyes, the tears go up. They said it was bad. And you know what? My mama, she will tell you to this day, he ain't thrown no more food since I've done that. That old boy, y'all mess with me. And brother, I tell you, my mama, she when she hits you, she don't ball her fist up like this. She raised that knuckle up like that. And she caught me off guard back 20 years ago. And I mean, give it up a gut like to knock me out. Oh, man. Brother, I'm telling you. But in all that, I, what am I trying to preach? I ain't got a clue, but I'm having fun, all right?
Hey.
Thank God for mama that she put food on my table. I put food in my belly. And I thank her. What can I tell you right now? I hold up more than mama. I hold up more than daddy. There's a God in heaven that has fed me along his way. That has taken care of me and blessed me. And when I needed food, not just a hamburger, not just a hot dog, but food from heaven.
Amen.
And God would feed my soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Eat what he feeds you. Don't make your own dessert. Now let me educate you on something. He said, look at here, neither be you idolaters. That deals with our worship. You better have your worship right. God is a spirit, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
That's right. Come
on. You gotta have worship right. We could also classify that. Call it worship sins. I mean, fake worship. You can't fake it. I've seen them shout. I've seen them run.
That's right.
I like it. Brother Harold B. Sider, get up. It's all right. I appreciate all y'all shouting and running tonight. But if you ain't got your Bible college bill paid, you need to sit down and be quiet. If you ain't got your fire bill paid, you need to sit down and shut up. If you've been rude to your wife, we don't want to see you shout or run. Hey, man, I never heard it personally say that. Somebody told me he said it. So if it wasn't Brother Sidler, for whoever's listening to the recording, I apologize for my mistake. But still, amen, you want to shout when you've been smarting off your wife and smarting off your husband and been rude to your mama and daddy. Shame on you.
Come on.
You can't fake joy. You can't fake peace. And you might fake rejoicing and try to fool us and maybe even do it. But you ain't fooling God.
Right.
It's worship sins and these idolatry sins. Anything you put ahead of God is an idol and you need to get rid of it. Anything more important to you than God is, it's an idol. We can call them spiritual sins. And we can deal with the envy, the jealousy, the malice, and the backbite, the gossip. Amen. And all and on we could go. Amen. But then, not only was it that, he said in verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication. Oh boy, that's them sensual sins. That's that wicked stuff. Fornication! It don't matter. I'm not trying to identify. I don't make statements like this. It don't matter to me what you believe. I mean, really, unless it was a major Bible doctrine, if I know we disagreed, I probably wouldn't be mentioned. That's just how I feel. But you say you're a sissy, you're a compromise. This is the way it is. You believe the prodigal's backslid, I believe he's lost. I'm probably going to leave that alone, especially if I'm in your book. That's just called being nice.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Right. It ain't worth losing meetings and losing people.
Oh,
no,
that's right, brother.
No, it's foolish and all this stuff.
That's it.
But the actual sin of fornication and adultery, the act is the same.
Yeah.
But the sin is different.
That's right. Oh, that's right, brother.
Yes.
That's true.
Adultery is a sin against a covenant.
Oh, ain't it so?
Fornication is a sin against your own body.
That's for sure, brother. Well said.
That's King James Bible.
Right? That's King James Bible. Yes, sir.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, you run around here, whether you're doing fornication physically or adultery physically, or whether you're doing it in your heart, get right with God.
That's right. Oh, heaven, you said
it. That dessert is not spiritual. That dessert is carnal. And once you shove down the road of back pain and clothes, you can't have God in one hand and the world in the other hand. How true it is.
Amen.
Right. Hey,
you ain't going to have a best of both worlds. I don't care who you are. You can turn your back on this one. Put your heart toward that one. Fornication, it's a sin. Hey, he said, don't do it. He said, neither murmur. Boy, we talk about these social sins. Are these sins of the mouth. Right there. He said, murmur. What was they doing? Oh, they was murmuring against Moses.
Yeah. That's it.
And God. God said, boy, he said, you ain't going to do that. You ain't going to put your mouth on my man and get by.
That's right.
Moses' own sister.
Yep.
Who was there and watched Moses go down the river in that ark of bulrushes that his mother made for him.
Ain't it so?
She was older than he was. She had stayed while he was gone and went through all that. And God told Moses, pick out seven. He didn't pick Aaron or Miriam out. That crowd got jealous. And she put her mouth on the man of God, her brother, and shut that whole country down for 7 days because of one woman's mouth.
Uh-oh.
I don't have liberty to preach it, but I preach a message out of that text on whose mouth is holding this church.
Uh-oh. Come on, brother.
We got time.
Come on.
I've seen it. I've been in meetings. God get to moving, then the brethren get together and start gossiping and grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Brother Sammy preached against gossip so much, and I wonder why. Then I seen firsthand the gossiping, how much it grieves the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Right. Ain't no use in us sitting around discussing things that's going to grieve the Spirit of God.
Right.
While we're trying to have a meeting, something needs to be taught. It's serious, yeah, we'll talk about it. Something needs to be dealt with. Let's be mature and wait until after the meeting. And make sure it really needs to be talked about.
That's it.
Pastor ain't told me nothing about none of y'all. Nothing. Maybe a little bit of a testimony about one or two of them, but no trash, no sin, no
doubt. Amen, brother.
I've done this one time in my life. Brother, somebody called me, want me to preach. I didn't know him. I called a friend of mine. I said, bro, I don't know this guy. Is he okay? Oh, yeah. My buddy called that guy. John called checking me out. I'll never do that again. Oh, he came up with all kinds of excuses why he had to cancel the meeting and all. I knew what it was. I called and checked him out. Mm-hmm. I don't get offended when people call and check me out.
That's right. No, that's right, brother.
You know what I'll do? I've done that one time.
The rest of my life here is what I'm going to do. You'll become preach. If I don't know you, don't know of you. You King James, how many times you've been married? You're Baptist. I'll ask the person myself.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
You don't understand. The mouth, our tongue is set on fire of hell.
That's right, preacher. Right.
I pray every day of my life, Brother Zach. Lord, you said our tongues are set on fire of hell. I believe every word of it. God, help me to talk to you right. Help me to talk to the congregation right. Help me to talk to my wife and children.
That's right.
Help me to talk about you right. Don't let me misrepresent you like Job's friends did.
That's right. It's good. It's good.
God, help me to talk right.
That's right.
And if my tongue's going to burn with fire, don't let it be hellfire. Let it be holy fire.
That's right.
God, let me shed a fire revival.
It's good, preacher.
You burn people down with your tongues.
Right.
It takes me a while. I'm not going to call you a bunch of Yankees, okay? But it takes me a while to get adjusted to some people, not all people. We got smart elks in the South, too. What some people in that direction would consider everyday normal common, that's how we talk to each other. You know, it takes me a minute to get used to that.
Yeah, amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got it. Like,
am I being rude? I'm just trying to be nice. It takes me a minute to get used to that. Yeah. Amen. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And by the way, I want to clear the air on something. I'm not against people from the north. Two things air needs to get cleared on. If we leave out of here, we're going north, okay? We're not going south.
That's right.
Heaven's in the sides of the north.
That's right.
And number two, don't ever forget I said this. I'm not the one with the accent. Y'all are. Amen. Thank you for being patient with me.
Yeah, that's good.
But you're gonna beat your wife down all the time. Tell her how nasty the house is every day.
Come on.
These men wake up every morning and every day of their lives they tell their wife everything they don't like about her.
Oh, God forbid.
But let me help some of you preachers out, some of you men out. Let me help you out. God blesses you and that girl does say yes. Y'all end up getting married. Don't ever compare her to another woman.
Amen.
Don't compare her to your mama. Don't compare her to your pastor, the preacher's wife. Well, you know that. I watch these guys. Hey, you know that fella's wife, honey. Now, she got it going on. Look at her.
God forbid.
She's quiet. She's meek.
God forbid.
Hey, you got to be careful when you're eating at somebody's house and you're asking for the recipe so you can take it back home and give it to your wife. God, especially if it's something she already cooks. I believe people's going to get right with God. Amen. I'm just going to quit after that. You got to talk to your wife. You just got to talk to your husband. Look, you're beating your children down. You don't call your children stupid.
That's right.
You don't call a bunch of idiots.
That's right, Richard.
You don't call them fools.
That's right.
If all you got's negative junk coming out of your mouth to your congregation.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
To your husband, to your wife, to your children.
Come
to your
on.
You know what's going to happen. You're going to grow up and you're going to be old and you ain't going to have a friend on planet
Earth. That's exactly right.
All because of your mouth.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Just
right.
Run. Help me, Jesus. Would somebody help me out? Did you stick your nasty finger down in there? I don't want it back. You can have a little. I'm sorry for you after church. Some people just like to hear themselves talk.
Amen.
You ever shut up and listen?
Right,
brother.
Talk in your sleep. Talk to yourself. We'd have an old boy that used to work for us on the job. He'd be talking to himself all day long. One day I looked over and he's laughing. He's talking to himself laughing. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I just told myself a joke and I'm laughing at it. I'm going to say it.
just like we'd say it back home, okay? Shut up. I mean, be quiet.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
I can't remember the verse. Somebody help me out. Even a fool.
When he holds his peace, he's counted wise.
Say it.
Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise.
Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise.
Fool.
Even a fool. I got the spirit of Brother Sandy out. Here it goes. Serious fine thing. Serious fine.
That's a stat.
Serious, buddy.
That's right.
How we talk to each other?
That's right.
I mean, I ain't always in the best moods.
Yes, sir.
I'm not the most pleasant morning person. So I don't want to get around nobody until I've been able to read my Bible. At least read my Bible.
It's good.
And get two good cups of coffee.
Amen.
Now, if you're against coffee, practice this point I'm preaching right now. Amen.
Amen.
Have I preached it right so far?
Sir, you have.
Anybody getting any help tonight?
Yes, sir.
Brother, yes, sir. I'm telling you, they murmured their mouth. They wouldn't, boy, God said that. Then you put your mouth on a man of God. When we was little, the children was little, Brother Tim, we could get by. The preacher would get up, preach something, look right. I know my children wasn't paying attention, whatever. I had to discuss with my wife, or with junk going on, wasn't present, leave them babies alone.
Yes, sir.
But when they get teenagers and they start seeing things.
Oh, brother.
And they start asking questions.
Yeah.
Well, just we're going to leave alone. We don't run with them no more. That's good enough. That's all you need to know. Don't ask no questions. And if it's bad enough, we're going to get around and find an hour. Listen, now, that brother, when I've had to do this, Daddy, how come we ain't going back up here? Well, if you're going to hear it from somebody, you might as well hear it from me. You disqualify yourself. We're not going to talk about it.
Amen, brother. It's sorrowful.
We're going to pray God to restore us.
We're good.
Reconcile them back to the church, and we're going to pray for him every day.
Amen.
And I hate he's messed up. I'm not going to be able to preach for him anymore, but he's still our friend. If we can, we'll do everything you can to fix his mess. We'll hold his hand while he does it. And we'll not preach for him, not have him preach for us. But if he'll get right with God, we'll still associate with him after that. You know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of us Baptists being so trigger happy about throwing the brethren away.
Yeah.
Throw them away. Chop. Cast them off. If they're rebellious and they're heretics, then, you know, going down the road. One of the greatest words in the Bible is forgiveness.
That's right.
Do you know what real Bible forgiveness is? Do you? The greatest definition I ever heard in my life. Treating them like they never done it.
That's right.
Might be disqualified from the pulpit, not to own it on. They get right with God. Or your wife, she does something. You ain't got to bring it up every day. You going to be bringing up stuff that happened 20 years ago? Wonder why we ain't having revival every time he walks in the house with mud on his shoes? I'll tell you right now. I remember that. You run over dog 20 years ago, and I'm still mad at you. You got mad and hot at me, and you talked to me like a dog. It's been 30 years. How many times you got to apologize?
Come on.
I missed God one night. I hope you get this. I missed the Holy Spirit, and I was supposed to preach on hell, and I preached out of root because I wanted to impress some brethren. I really was.
Amen, brother. Amen.
God,
amen.
Come hear me preach. I got this message on Ruth, and I struggled with it. I really had it partly knew that I thought maybe this is a will of God. I got off in that thing. I knew I missed God. And I was too full of pride to stop and go read Luke 16 and preach what I was supposed to. I got to the room that night. I apologized. The Lord asked me to forgive me. I think even went to the pastor and said, Pastor, I missed God tonight. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? 2.5 years, every day of my life, 2.5 years, I asked God to forgive me for that, for 2.5 years. And I believe one of the main reasons
God let me do that so I can stand up in here and tell this to you tonight.
That's good, brother.
That's good.
After 2.5 years, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, would you like to know when I forgave you?
Yeah, that's right.
I said, would you please tell me Jesus? He said, the first time you asked.
That's right.
Now, get over it and forgive yourself.
Come on, brother.
Well, I know it's scattered, but I believe we're right where God wants us to be tonight.
I believe so, brother.
Mouth it off.
Yes, sir.
Then he said, then look here. Look what he said. He said, neither let us tempt Christ. As some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Sometimes you fix your own dessert. You sign your own death warrant.
That's right. That's right.
You want no premature deaths, do we?
Sir.
Won't be preaching your funeral because you wouldn't get right with God.
Come on, brother. That's right.
God takes his people out of here sometimes.
That's right.
I don't know, man, right now, if I call his name, someone needs to know him. I believe he's in heaven prematurely.
Oh, brother.
He was trying to do something, God wouldn't let him do it. It wasn't necessarily a sin.
Right.
He was going in a direction God didn't want him to go in. He made his mind up he's going to do it anyways. And God took him out of here. Tempted Christ. You don't tempt God. What do you think you're going to fight God? You think you're going to win a wrestling match with God? You think we're bigger and better than the Lord is? Absolutely not.
That's right.
It tempted him. Just, if we're going to get this way of escape, we've got to let him lead us. We have got to let him feed us. Can I give you two more?
Yes,
sir.
Verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another man's wealth. If you're going to find a way of escape, then you've got to get rid of the greed. It's got to interrupt. Greed in the heart of a born-again believer does not belong there.
That's right, brother. That's right.
We've got such a selfish, self-centered generation of people. It's all about me.
That's exactly right.
Get the greed out of your heart.
That's right.
Greedy preachers, greedy people.
Come on.
Destroy covetousness.
Us. Oh, brother.
Lust. Envy. Oh, you know the difference between envy and jealousy, don't you? Jealousy can cause you to sin, but I don't know if jealousy is a sin.
No, sir, it's not.
God's jealous.
That's right.
That's right.
Jealousy always deals with what we love. Get up here and do something in this pastor's pulpit that ain't right. He's got every right to get jealous over the pulpit of his people.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You catch a man work with my wife.
That's right.
I'm going to get jealous.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Was in a restaurant the other day, this old fella. Look at my bride. I didn't tell her this. That's y'all tell her. Look at my bride. I said, what am I going to do about this?
Jealous.
No, I thought, well, I'm awful flattered. So I got a pretty wife. But this ain't happening.
Exactly right.
Next time that old fella looked over at my bride, I went. Stared at him.
You better believe it, buddy.
Stared at him, boy.
That's right.
I might not have could have whooped him. But he'd have to whoop me every day till I finally got him.
That's right.
Amen. Just greedy.
I like it.
It busts up families.
Yes, sir.
That's greed right. Separates children.
Sir.
You talk about a blessing from God. You've been able to work with your dad. I love my son. Me and him work together. I love him. We first started out, sometimes it get a little rough. I'm not putting. Is this going on Facebook or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great.
Elegant.
We had to learn how to really work together with each other. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
I let my son make decisions sometimes. I'm trying to teach him to run his business so he can do it on my desk. But sometimes I've got to step in and really take over. And here, of recent days, we don't fuss, we don't fight. I'll put up with that junk. Here in recent days, well, I say recent,
not recent days. We just had to learn each other, working with each other.
Right.
And I pay you good. I really do. I told you work like a man, I pay like a man. And when Daddy's got to step in and take over, you know what he does. He just backs up. Go ahead, Daddy.
Amen.
He don't stand there with his lips put.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's amen, sir. Amen.
I wouldn't have done it that way. I don't care what you do. Don't smack a snot out of you. Don't shut your mouth. Oh, she can say it like that. I'll grow a little bit. Next time I tell him, I'm going to give you a stank. My papa and my daddy, I struggled working with him. We worked one day. Boy, I'm just rambling on. I'm right. Just spirit out all right now.
Yeah, get in the pulpit.
Thank you, brother. Great advice.
Yes!
Right advice from the right man.
Amen. You're way better. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna have to repent after church. Eh? You got don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. Don't do it. I'm moving on. I'm not gonna tell that story. He said, but read what the Bible said, that verse. He said, let no man seek his own. Am I right about not being having the greed?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But every man another man's wealth. We got the little outline tonight. We just wrote that down. It's only half a page, the other half's another message. We're over upside down, so I'll preach two messages at once. Right there. You gotta let him lead, you see it, Brother Zach. You gotta let him lead, you gotta let him feed. Don't get your son with greed. What's that next one say? Read the whole thing.
Help others with their needs.
You can't read bread in that, can you? But another man's wealth. Help others with their needs.
That's right, brother.
If you want to stay out of trouble, stay out of sin, find somebody to help.
That's right, yes, sir.
Next time you go to the Dollar General, she gets on your nerves so bad. Don't look at her and say something like, well, honey, I know if you would have graduated high school, you could do better than this minimum wage job, so we'll be patient with it. Don't say stuff like that.
That's right.
Look there and say, hey, what's the name of this church? Living Waters. Don't get mad at me for forgetting. My goodness, you go to many churches that I do, you get them all, I'm together for long. Should I go down there to Living Waters Baptist Church? You don't want to come here, my pastor. Well, you know, I can only bring the kids.
That's right.
I mean, if they throw up, we'll clean it up. They break something, we'll fix it. Bring the kids. We'll help you. And if people from off the streets come up in here, the kids won't pay. Well, you good, good. It goes against how y'all are, and I'm sorry. One of you good godly mamas go say, hey, let me take that right there to the truck. I should have been listening to the preaching.
Right.
You've been blessed.
That's right, brother.
You go find somebody. Well, I don't know anybody needs any help. I mean, you ain't getting out there.
No, that's for sure.
You're the one that needs help.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Find somebody. Look, I want to be balanced, especially on my soul winning, evangelizing, gospel. I know you use soul winning that crowd's giving such a bad name. We are going to be
Right. That's right.
Go find somebody. I am a resort.
Right.
I was on my way to a party. Had a cooler full of beer on a shingle. They come to my house and invited me to church. One man, Gary, came to my house. I am a result.
That's right.
Of somebody from the church coming and getting me and inviting me to church. I'm telling you what, God uses people.
That's right, buddy.
Now hear me and hear me well. Somebody needs help.
That's right.
Find somebody.
That's right, buddy.
Find somebody that doesn't know God. And let it be more than one invite. Man, I'm so thrilled. I'm so thrilled. My home church, my brother-in-law, my pastor, we're on the same page. He's a great guy, great preacher, my wife's brother. Her and him stood the greatest Christians ever met in life. He got under a burden. The church got under a burden to invite everybody in our county to church. So he got a great big old map. Had it put the plastic on it. And every road we go down, knock it on their doors. We mark it off. And then a buddy of mine was, and I know, but the other church has burned it for everybody. I know. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
I know. So what? Go and buy them anyway.
That's sorry. Right, brother. That's exactly right.
And me and old brother Britt Gordon, we just door hangers, hang one door, end by, had a gospel message. Two people from that road came to the service that night. Just so excited. So that helped us out. And that one woman, I don't know what she is or what she was, I'm just glad she came. She said, well, I was walking out the front door, and they was a invite to y'all's church on my door hanger. I guess that was a sign from God. I needed to go to church today. It was an invite.
That's right.
She got to hear a gospel message.
And that's it.
So God give the glory. Don't pat me on the back. I'm just using these for examples to help you. I get a phone call from it's got a Florida number on it. Hey, y'all cut trees? Yeah, we cut trees. Y'all doing great work? We do a little bit. Can you come look at the job? Yeah, I'm in there. I go on talking. Man, I love Jesus. If Jesus comes back before I get the job done, you'll have to get the Antichrist to do it because I'm not going to be here. Well, it's over. I said, Ben, where do you go to church at? I said, I'm going to go to my Carmel Baptist church. I was getting fired up. But I'm in bed. I was fired up. Hey, do you? You ain't going to believe this. You're not going to believe what I think to tell you. The next Sunday morning, guess who showed up? Them people did. He said, I've been over here at this big church. That preacher's dead. I grew up with them hellfire and brimstone preachers. He said, you believe that? I said, yeah, you ain't saved, you're going to hell. Well, I like it. Come on, come here, you preach. I'm not the preacher. Four Sundays in a row, they've been there.
I like it, brother.
Four in a row, buddy. Ain't nobody trying to pull old professions out of me.
Oh, it's just good stuff, brother.
They ended up having to adopt a grandchild. They brought her. One of the ladies come and said, all right, honey, you come on with us down to the little kiddies' Sunday school class. They go down here and teach them about Jonah and the whale, David and the giant. So you're teaching them Sunday school classes, Mom. You don't think you're making a difference.
That's right.
My mother-in-law died 21 years ago. 21 years ago. My mother-in-law. Over 1,400 to 1,500 people come through the funeral line.
Oh, amen.
She told us, don't you even think about having an open casket. I don't know why she's seeing me like that. We went in there to view the body. She looked so pretty. She was beautiful in that casket. She looked a whole lot better than she did when she was alive. I think that's how bad cancer she had. I need to shut up. I don't know none of them. No,
you're fine, brother. Nobody's moving.
Good. I got your spirit on me now, bro.
Couple of antacid, you'll get over it.
Yeah. I couldn't resist. Oh. 1,400 to 1,500 people come through the line. You're
going to
let me close that? Hey, 1,400 to 1,500 people come through the line. I couldn't tell you how many people come through that line. Tears running down their face. Hey, she's my Sunday school teacher.
Hey, boy.
Hey. My brother come through there, tears down his face. He got kicked out of regular high school and sent him off to another school for troubled kids in the county. Every Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, especially every Monday and every Thursday morning. Thursday after Wednesday night prayer meetings, Monday after Sunday church. He didn't realize it at the time, but my mother-in-law was one of the teachers in that school. But she didn't care what the government said. She was going in there telling about Jesus.
Hey.
How good the church was. My brother seen God and my mother-in-law. Made a difference in his life.
I like it, brother.
That's what I'm talking about. Help, find somebody to help them.
That's right.
Well, I'm not good with talking to people. I want everybody, can I do a repeat after me? It won't be a prayer. All right. Everybody repeat after me. Hello?
Hello.
My name is?
My name is.
Whatever.
Good.
I go to the Living Waters Baptist Church. Say your church, Black Creek. Black Bear, Black Creek. Black Ralph Coffee. Would you like to come to church with me this Sunday? Say it.
Would you like to come to church with me this Sunday?
Oh, you don't have a ride?
Oh, you don't have a ride?
I'll come get you. Don't throw no more excuses out. I'll get rid of every one of them for you. Let's go to church.
Amen, brother.
Riding down the road and see an old man stuck in his lawnmower in the ditch. Shame on him if he won't stop.
That's right.
Oh, see the old lady coming out of the grocery store? Shame on you if you don't say, ma'am, I go to Living Waters Baptist Church, and I need that buggy, but you still got your groceries in it. Let me put them in your car for you, and then I'll take your buggy back. Okay. Buddy, I'm hitting a nail on the head tonight.
Come on.
Help somebody.
That's right.
You're out there. Hey, help somebody. Oh, and the crucified life. The crucified life. I'm going to preach another message right quick. When that thief was nailed to that cross, he got saved 3 hours from there.
No, even so.
As soon as he got saved, God turned the lights out. Right. As soon as he got saved.
Amen.
You know, he could look any direction he wanted to, could he? Except for one.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't look behind him. Mm. I don't care if you've been saved 3 hours, 3 years, or 30 years. We don't come too far to look back.
Amen.
That's right.
And if one of them buddies would have come by and said, hey, man, we found a house over here. It's full of gold. We're going to go steal it. You want to come? You know what he'd have to say? Well, I can't, man. I'm crucified. I can't. I'm crucified. Can you what part?
Right.
Me? Oh, by the way.
That's real.
You best friend. You talk about it. You want to talk about grace and providence? Out of all the weekend, all the days to get crucified, all the places to get crucified, all the people to get crucified.
That's
beside
right.
That guy got to get crucified right beside Jesus.
Amen, brother.
That's good.
Oh, yes.
Good.
Yeah. Temptation comes. Well, I'm crucified. I ain't. Temptation comes. Well, I just get tempted. Look at something on your phone you're exposed to.
Uh-oh.
Thought it would go through your mind. Man, if my wife found out that her dad was right, I love her too much to hurt.
That's right. It's good, brother.
Oh, my husband found out about that. I love him too much to hurt.
Come on. Good.
I'm picking up what I'm putting down tonight.
Come on.
Help somebody. God's made a way of escape. Find somebody that's needing something.
That's right.
Go buy a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Y'all got Angles up here?
Yeah.
Angles grocery store. Well, back home, the chicken at Angles is better than Bojangles or Kentucky. Yeah. Go get you a bucket of chicken. Go knock on somebody's door, you know. I brought some chicken and some sweet tea. We bought you something tonight. You just want to come in and talk to you. Ain't a fine word on that.
No, sir.
Ain't a fine. Matter of fact, it's right.
That's right.
To be good, I bet you. When's the last time? When's the last time you've been in a restaurant and a veteran was sitting down right beside you? I did this the other day, and I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to make sure I know what they ordered first. I was sitting in a restaurant, and this veteran sat down with his wife, and I told that wife, I said, you bring me his bill? She did, and I looked over, and that dummy had a big old beer sitting over there, and I'm too late now. I really do have your spirit on me tonight. But, I wanted to be a blessing to the veteran. I bought his meal. Next time, I'll make sure they ain't drinking no beer. I repent. I ask God to forgive me.
Yeah, oh, that's right, brother. You've done right.
Lord, I'm joking. I didn't want to do it, but God knows my heart.
That's right.
Walk up to the table of a World War vet, two vet, a Vietnam vet, you know their vet. Get your ticket, go pay for it, and say thank you for your service to our country.
That's right, brother. It's good.
Run these flag burning, sodomite, woke movement crowd out of our country. Thank God. You see a state trooper? Go in there and look at them.
That's right.
Pray for you, all you guys every day. Lord bless me. Bless the Marines, bless the Army guys, bless the Navy, bless the Air Force, God bless our police departments, our sheriff's departments, all our public servants. Sam Adams taught me to pray for our public service. God, keep our state troopers safe and our country safe. Good luck. Fine. You never know. Boy, I got pulled over one day and I'm done with it.
Come on, don't you hurry.
I got pulled over one day and that trooper come up in there. He wrote me a ticket so fast. And he said, there you go, Mr. Morgan. Have a good day. And I said, wait a minute. You did your job. I got to do mine. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I never tell nobody I'm a preacher until after I get my ticket. Because I do not, and I'm against using being a Christian or a preacher to get out of a ticket.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You walk up to the counter and say, well, I'm the man of God. I think you ought to give me a deal. I think they ought to charge it up.
Amen.
Cheap skate. That's
good.
Count punk, that's what you are. And so I said, wait a minute, you did your job, let me do mine. I said, I love Jesus. Boy, and I was going down the list. I said, amen, I pray for you every day. He said, do what? Boy, he said, come on now. I said, yeah, I love Jesus. Boy, he got in the glory. He said, man, I'm born again, I'm saved. Jesus saved me, told me when he got saved, where he got saved. Brother, he got to shouting. He got the crowd on the side of that yesterday. He said, man, I can't believe it. I just wrote you a ticket. Why didn't you? I said, you done your job. It's all right. And brother, I tell you what, he went running back to his car, got in his car, turned a siren wide open, thunder sideways in the name of Jesus going on. God let me help him.
That's right.
He needed encouragement.
Amen.
Well, let me talk about the people that's coming down my way when I need to help.
Wait.
Come on.
That's right.
I mean, Lord, it's next day.
Lined up.
Somebody come by. It seemed like they lined up, taking turns, hitting, spitting on. Somebody come by and they put their arm around.
That's right, brother.
Hey, Brother John, I just want to let you know I pray for you today.
Oh, boy.
Touch my heart.
Right.
Oh, boy. Never know. We're standing all over the building. Sister, if you don't need to pray, you come play something on the piano, please. We're all standing, everybody stand. I don't think we need 400 verses just as I am tonight. But we'll play something. You need to come pray. Here's how I'm going to give them things. If God's